Let's read together Genesis 26, verses 1 through 16. In this first half of Genesis 26, we have the record of Isaac's sojourn in the land of the Philistines, including his lie concerning his wife Rebekah. Genesis 26, verse 1. There was a famine in the land, besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land of which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." So Isaac dwelt in Gerar. And the men of the place asked him about his wife. And he said, "She is my sister." For he was afraid to say, "She is my wife," because he thought, lest the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she is beautiful to behold. Now it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked through a window and saw, and there was Isaac showing endearment to Rebekah his wife. Then Abimelech called Isaac and said, "Quite obviously she is your wife. So how could you say she is my sister?" And Isaac said to him, "Because I said, lest I die on account of her." And Abimelech said, "What is this you have done to us? One of the people might soon have lain with your wife, and you would have brought guilt on us." So Abimelech charged all his people, saying, "He who touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death." Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous, for he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants, so the Philistines envied him. Now the Philistines had stopped up all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham his father, and they had filled them with earth. And Abimelech said to Isaac, "Go away from us, for you are much mightier than we." Let's consider a few background notes first of all. Genesis 26 is the only chapter in Genesis where Isaac is the main character. He's mentioned in other chapters, of course, but only chapter 26 of Genesis concentrates exclusively on the patriarch Isaac. You'll read a number of commentaries written on the life of Abraham, the father of Isaac, and you read a number of commentaries written on Jacob, the son of Isaac. But you don't read a lot of commentaries on Isaac himself. Isaac comes across the pages of Scripture to us as just an ordinary believer. So let's learn some lessons for ordinary believers. In verse 1, we read that during a time of famine, Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. Back in chapter 20, we read that Abraham also had gone down to this very place, Gerar, and contacted Abimelech of the Philistines. Most likely, this is a different Abimelech, because these two events are separated by more than 90 years. But you see, Abimelech is probably a title like Pharaoh rather than a name. In fact, Melech in Abimelech, or Abimelech, means king in Hebrew. In order to protect his wife from the Philistines, Isaac lied about his wife and said she was his sister. I wonder where he learned that trick. Like father, like son. Remember, Abraham had lied about his wife Sarah twice when he went down to Egypt in Genesis chapter 12 and when he went down to the land of the Philistines in chapter 20. In verse 8, we read that Abimelech looked through a window and saw, and there was Isaac showing endearment or caressing Rebekah, his wife. Well, as a result of Abimelech seeing Isaac and Rebekah together in this way, God delivered Isaac from what could have been some sad consequences to his sin of lying about his wife, Rebekah. And that then brings us to our doctrinal or teaching points. Doctrinal or teaching point number one: God keeps his promises in spite of the mistakes of believers. God keeps his promises in spite of the mistakes of believers. God had made some significant promises to Abraham and his descendants in the Abrahamic covenant. You can read about this beginning with Genesis chapter 12. These promises included material and spiritual blessings. They included the promise of the land of Canaan. They included the promise of many descendants. They included the promise of the coming Messiah through whom all the earth would be blessed. We see here that these blessings of the Abrahamic covenant are reiterated to Isaac in verses 3 and 4. It was understood that the recipients of the Abrahamic covenant would stay in the land of Canaan, which God was giving them. Even during a time of famine, the patriarchs were to depend on God and not leave the land. Abraham had to learn that lesson when he wrongly went down to Egypt. Read about that in Genesis chapter 12. Now here in Genesis 26, Isaac has to learn this lesson as well. During a time of famine, Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. You read that verse 1. Now the Philistine territory, understand, was still in the land of Canaan. But it was on the way to Egypt. That's the point. And from what we read here in verse 2, it looks like Isaac intended on going on down to Egypt. And this would have been a mistake, the result of doubt and not really believing the promises. But now look at verses 2 and 3. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham, your father." All these lands, of course, would include the territory of the Philistines, where Isaac was receiving this message. So Isaac obeyed the Lord and did not make the mistake of going down to Egypt. That's the good news. But then Isaac goes and lies about his wife. That was more than a mistake. It was sin. He lied. Well, Isaac had to be rebuked by Abimelech, a pagan king. And Isaac was saved from what could have been very serious consequences. But now look at verses 12 through 14. Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. Get this now, this is during a time of famine. But Isaac reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. Verse 13, the man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous, for he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants, so the Philistines envied him. Do you see what's going on here? God is keeping his promises of the Abrahamic covenant in spite of Isaac's mistakes. His mistake of planning on going down to Egypt and his mistake of lying about his wife. These were wrong. God would have to deal with these things. But God is still blessing him. God keeps his promises in spite of the mistakes of believers. Have you made any serious mistakes in the past? What about some major sin? Well, here's the good news. Even though God must discipline us for our sin, he doesn't take away his promises. We don't lose our salvation. God continues to guide us and protect us and care for us. God keeps his promises in spite of the mistakes of believers. Doctrinal or teaching point number 2. God keeps his promises in spite of the hostilities of unbelievers. God keeps his promises in spite of the hostilities of unbelievers. In verses 14 and 15, we read that the Philistines envied Isaac because of his prosperity. And they stopped up all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham. To stop up someone's well was like an act of war. Wells were essential to life. But in spite of the envy and hostility of the Philistines, Isaac was being blessed. God was keeping his promises. Verse 16 indicates that Isaac grew even mightier than the Philistines. God keeps his promises today. And the hostilities of the unbelievers around you cannot stop God. The hostilities of unbelieving neighbors cannot stop God from keeping his promises to you. The hostilities of unbelieving family members, employers, government officials cannot stop God from keeping his promises to you. Listen to the words of Romans chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. If God is for us, who can be against us? God, who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You believe that promise? No amount of hostility can stop it. Verse 31 again, if God is for us, who can be against us? And then look at verse 35 of Romans 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Now there's a lot of hostility. But what's the obvious answer to the question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? The obvious answer is nothing. And his love here, the love of Christ certainly includes his promises. Times may be tough, and the road may be rough, but God's care and protection and presence and provision and love for you will always be there. You believe this? These are solid promises in the Word of God. God keeps his promises in spite of the hostilities of unbelievers. Now, what about some practical application? Practical application number one. Don't give the unbeliever an opportunity to rebuke you. Don't give the unbeliever an opportunity to rebuke you. Isaac lied about his wife and had to be rebuked by Abimelech, a pagan king. Not a great testimony on the part of Isaac, was it? Abimelech, an unbeliever, a pagan king, was more honorable than Isaac here. Have you ever been rebuked by an unbeliever? I remember back in high school, I caused some disruption in one of my study halls. I tried to shift the blame by saying to the teacher, well, maybe Bob did it. I remember the teacher, who was not a believer, said to me, no, Bob wouldn't have done that because Bob is a Christian. That really stung. That hurt. Here I was a Christian, but obviously not much of a testimony. It was a great lesson that I learned there that day. Don't give the unbeliever an opportunity to rebuke you. As in the case of Isaac, there's usually some Abimelech watching from some window. Don't give the unbeliever an opportunity to rebuke you. Practical application number two. Don't copy the sins of your parents. Don't copy the sins of your parents. When Abraham lied about his wife, Sarah, in Genesis 12 and Genesis 20, Isaac wasn't born yet. But Isaac certainly learned about these events, maybe even from Abraham and Sarah, with instructions, don't do the same thing. But Isaac still was desensitized in this area. Actions speak louder than words. And so Isaac copied the sin of his father. Don't copy the sins of your parents. Now, this lesson is not just for the young people here. It's for all of us. Don't copy the sins of your parents.